Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace.
Self-reliance is one of the greatest hindrances to us following God's will and seeing it come to pass in our life.
I knew that God was speaking to me about, you know, that even though it doesn't look like it's possible for us to do it, that maybe God has some other plans.
And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. I'm nearing the end of my fourth week of teaching on how to find, follow, and fulfill God's will. And I tell you, I have said enough truth to just literally transform the world if people would take these truths and believe them. It has revolutionized my life. And I've got all of that truth put into this book, and we have study guides. We have three different study guides, one on how to find, one on how to follow, and one on how to fulfill God's will. And then we've got teaching on CD and DVD. And I'm making a special offer during this about a little booklet that I wrote. It's only 25 pages, talking about my appointment with God, March the 23rd, 1968. And that's a free gift to anybody who would like it. So at the end of our program, we'll give out that information again. I've covered so much material, I can't go back through it all. I really encourage you to go to our website. You can watch the archive copies of this. I'm teaching everything in a sequence. And like I said, I'm nearing the end of 4 weeks, so I've already said a lot of material. If you've missed any of this, you really need to get it in its context. Yesterday, I was talking about the way you fulfill God's will is you have to learn to obey what God tells you to do. The Scripture says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Anybody can start, but not everybody finishes what they start. A lot of people fall by the wayside. Satan gets them off track. It's one thing to get started following God, finding His will, following it, but man, to finish what God has called you to do, that is a whole different thing. And I tell you, it takes some maturity, patience, time to see God's will fulfilled in your life. You know, the older I've gotten, I now realize a lot of the things that Satan has tried to do to destroy me and to get me off track. And when I see somebody who's been in ministry for 50 years, I may disagree with them on a lot of doctrinal things, but if they are still vertical and if they are still loving God after 50 years in the ministry, I guarantee you, I owe them some respect. That's not easy to accomplish. And so I'm talking about, how do you have this longevity? How do you fulfill what God called you to do? And what I was talking about primarily yesterday was you have to learn to obey God. And obedience is nearly a dirty word to a lot of grace people. There's a lot of people that I've introduced to grace who came out of extreme legalism. They were so performance-based that when they heard about grace, it was just like liberty to them. It set them free. And they don't ever want to hear the word performance or obedience ever again, because it just reminds them of the legalism that they came out of. I will say that the reason I'm emphasizing obedience isn't in order to get God to respond to your obedience. That's wrong. That's legalism. God doesn't respond to us. God, by grace, has already done everything and offered it to us as a total free gift. But that doesn't mean that obedience isn't important. Obedience is our positive response to what God has already done. It doesn't gain a response from God, but it's our response to Him. Obedience is a fruit and not a root of receiving from God. Those are big statements. But I really am trying to emphasize this because there's people that I have shared grace with them, and they have taken it far beyond what I've ever said, far beyond what the Word says. And now it's just to the place that it doesn't matter what you do. There are even some people that I've known and that I introduced to grace that now believe there's no hell, that there are no consequences, that you don't go to hell, there is no separation from God, that everybody's saved. I've even heard people preach that Satan is ultimately going to be reconciled to God and that we'll all live in eternity in unity. That's not what the Word of God teaches. And so there is a balance here. Yes, I preach and believe in the goodness and the grace of God, and I'm not serving God in order to earn anything from Him. The gift of God is eternal life. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. It's a gift. I'm not earning God's favor. But obedience, action, is first of all a godly response to the love that God has given me. If I really understand, then it's like 2 Corinthians 5. The love of Christ constrains us. The love of Christ, if you truly understand the grace of God and how good He is, you will serve Him better accidentally than you ever did before on purpose under this performance-based earn merit system. So you serve God out of love, number one, but then secondly, you serve God because Romans chapter 6, verse 16 says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." So if you obey and serve righteousness, well, then you get the fruit of righteousness. If you obey the devil and serve the devil, you're going to reap consequences from that. And you don't want that. He only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So I've been emphasizing obedience is one of the key factors to longevity in your walk with the Lord. And if you want to finish your course with joy, you're going to have to learn not to lean under your own understanding and doing things your way. You're going to have to obey God and not just do your own thing. Let me use Elijah as an example of this. In 1 Kings chapter 17, it says in verse 1, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." Now, this is the first mention of Elijah in Scripture. There is no background given on him other than what's said right here, that he was an inhabitant of the land of Gilead. So we don't know a whole bunch about him, but it's obvious that he was already in relationship with God. It's obvious that he had heard from God. He had found God's will for his life, and he was following through. He walked right up to a king, and Ahab, the king, and his wife Jezebel had already killed hundreds of prophets of the Lord, and they were out to kill any person who claimed to be a prophet of the Lord. So here's Elijah walking right up to the very person who was killing the prophets of the Lord and saying, "Thus saith the Lord." Boy, this is a great example of how we should react in our society today because, you know, it's become unpopular to stand and say, "Well, the Bible says," and to stand and to talk about God and to talk about God as a creator and to say anything that is absolute. Our society has gotten to where all truth is relative and your truth may not be my truth and on and on. And for you to just come out and say, "No, there's only one truth. God's word is truth. And this is what the truth says. And this is the only standard. And this is right. And that is wrong." You come out like that, and I guarantee you, they may not kill you, but they are going to persecute you. It is unpopular today for us to stand and to say, "Thus saith the Lord." In Elijah's day, he could have been killed for this. They had already killed hundreds of God's prophets. And yet he was bold. He had heard from God and he was acting on what God told him. And so he delivered that word. He obeyed God is the point that I'm trying to make right here. Now see, there are many of us that we know what's going on in our society is wrong. And so we're in our prayer closets and we're praying and we're rebuking and saying, "Oh God, I pray that this woke culture, that this critical race theory, that all of this ungodliness and these things that are going on, I'm casting them down." And it's one thing to pray that in your closet, but there's lots of you that wouldn't stand up and say anything in public because of the persecution, the criticism. And it is going to cost you something. Being a fanatical Bible believer is not popular today, and you are going to be criticized. You're going to be called a homophobe. You're going to be called a bigot and all of these other things. And I guarantee there's a lot of people that in your closet, oh, you can preach and pray with the best of them, but in public, you won't take a stand. Let me say it a different way. You believe what's right, but you won't obey it. You won't stand up. You won't speak. You won't act on what you believe. You'll let other people around you speak all kinds of error and lies, and you won't stand up. And then you wonder why it is that things aren't working out for you. That's not right. You need to speak out. You need to speak out in love. You don't have to be mean with it, but you need to speak out. Elijah, if he would have just stayed in his prayer closet and have prayed and said, I believe there's not going to be rain until I say so. Even if that came to pass, which it probably wouldn't have if he hadn't have been bold and spoken and acted, obeyed what God told him. But even if it had come to pass, and then 3.5 years later, Elijah shows up and says, I prayed for this. Well, it would have been easy to dismiss him and say, oh, sure, anybody could say you prayed for it. How do I know that you prayed for it? But Elijah spoke up and prophesied a drought when there was still rain and there was no indication of it. And then, after 3.5 years, you can read about this in 1 Kings chapter 18, and after this drought had come, and I mean they had just about lost everything, Obadiah, the servant of the king, told Elijah, he says, there is no nation on the face of the earth that my master Ahab hasn't sent and asked if you were there. Elijah was the focus of everybody's attention because he obeyed, not just because he believed, but because he obeyed. He acted on his faith. As I was sharing yesterday in James chapter 2, verse 20, faith without works is dead. It's one thing for you to say, oh, I'm trusting God, I'm believing God, but if your actions don't back it up, God may still love you, but you don't love God with all of your heart. You're just fooling yourself if you're saying, oh, I'm trusting God, but then all of your actions are contrary to that. Obedience is an important part of seeing God's will come to pass in your life. And so in verse 2 it says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this goes back to something I was teaching earlier about that you have to act on the revealed word of God before you get a specific or a special word from God. Elijah just acted on what God had already told him about this drought, that there wasn't going to be rain until he said so. And it was only after he obeyed and acted on that, that the second word came to him about how God was going to provide for him and protect him. Now see, there's a lot of people that if God was to reveal to you and say, there's going to be a drought, and I want you to go tell this king who's going to kill any person who identifies themselves as a prophet of the Lord, I want you to go tell him, thus saith the Lord. If somebody did get that direction from the Lord, then most people would say, but God, what's going to happen to me if I do this? And they would want to know the second word, and they would want to know the third word, and how God was going to protect them, and how this would play out all the way through the end of their life. But notice that Elijah didn't get this second word about his provision and protection until he had already acted on the first word. God isn't going to give you step 1 through 10 when he reveals his word to you because he loves you. And if you aren't going to obey step 1, then giving you step 2 through 10 just makes you that much more accountable. It just makes you that much more guilty. So he's just going to reveal things to you step by step so that if you don't obey him, you aren't guilty of voiding all of the things he told you. He's going to deal with you right where you are. He just told Elijah this first step. You go tell him that there won't be rain or dew until I say so. And then after he did that, the word of the Lord came unto him saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. You know, I've got an entire teaching on lessons from Elijah. I would really encourage you to get it. You can go to our website, you can call, and people will tell you how you can get it. But this is a powerful truth, and I spend over an hour and a half on something that I'm going to spend the next 10 minutes on. So there's a lot more to it than what I'm saying. But notice that God said, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there, not here. He didn't send the ravens that were bringing Elijah's provision to him where he was. He sent the ravens to where he told him to go. It's like in American football, you know, when we throw a pass, the quarterback throws a pass. He doesn't throw it to where the receiver is. He throws it to where the receiver is going to be. He leads him, and they have a spot mark. You know, the pros, this is how they get by with completing passes against these people who are just excellent at defending against passes. But the reason they do it is because they will go out and the receiver will look like he's going to break left, and then he will cut back to the right. And the ball is already in the air. When he first cuts left, the quarterback is throwing the ball to another spot over here, and the defender doesn't know where the ball's going to go. So he's following that receiver, and when that receiver fakes to the left, his left, well, then the receiver goes that way. I mean, the defender goes that way. The receiver cuts back and receives it. This is how they're able to get past these professional people that are out there defending, trying to stop the pass, because they aren't throwing the ball to where the receiver is, but they're throwing the ball to where the receiver is going to be. And it's the same thing with your provision. God doesn't send your provision to where you are. He sends His provision to where you're supposed to be. So in other words, here's another way of saying this. He says, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. There is a place called there for each one of us. And it may not be where you are. It's where God told you to be. You know, with me, God told me to build a Charis Bible College. And when He told me, I had no money, but I decided to obey. And I went there. I bought this piece of property. I started building buildings when I didn't have any money. No guarantee that it was going to ever happen. But I started doing what God told me to do, and God sent my provision there. If I would have stayed where I was and saying, God, You get all of the money together. Right now, we've spent $120 million in 9 years building out a Charis Bible College campus. And if I would have waited until God gave me $120 million, and then I will go there. In other words, You send the provision here, and then I will go there. Nope, that's not how it works. That never would have happened. I had to go there. I had to start making the statements, telling people, this is what God led me to do. This is what I'm going to do. And I had to go there. I had to obey God, or I wouldn't have seen the provision. If Elijah had stayed right where he was, he would have starved to death. Because notice it says, I have commanded, not I'm going to command. I have commanded. God had already spoken to the ravens, and He had told them to go and bring Elijah's supply. But He didn't send it to where Elijah was. He sent it to where he was supposed to be. And if Elijah had stayed where he was, then God would have been sending the provision. See, this is an example of grace. God, by grace, has already given you the anointing, the provision, the ability to accomplish whatever it is that He's told you to do. But you may never see it if you stay where you are instead of going there. If you don't obey and do what God told you to do, you could miss God's provision, not because God isn't giving. He had already spoken to the ravens. And if Elijah had disobeyed, the ravens were already on their way. Matter of fact, when Elijah got to this brook, how did he know the right spot? Let's just say that the brook was 10 miles long or 15 or 20 miles long. Who knows? But how did Elijah know he was at the right spot? Because when he got there, the ravens were already there. His provision was already there. God spoke to them, and they could fly faster than he could walk. God was supplying, but Elijah could have missed it. I'm telling you that God is sending the supernatural supply, not only physically, finances, but it could be health, it could be anointing, it could be people that are going to help you accomplish that will. Whatever it is that it takes to accomplish God's instructions, God is faithfully sending that provision to you, but it's not directly to you, it's to where God told you to be. And if you don't go there, then you could miss God's provision, not because God didn't give it, but because you didn't obey. Obedience is essential. And so here's another way of saying it. One of the reasons that some people haven't seen God's provision is because they aren't all there. They're too much here. They're staying where they are. They're saying, God, you open the doors. God, you give me all of the assets that I need. You provide everything, and then I will obey. No, you have to obey, and then the provision manifests itself. You know, with our students, I see this all of the time. I don't know how many people God speaks to about coming to school, but I know many of the people who actually make it to school, they are praying and they need provision for tuition. They're leaving a good paying salary or a house that's already paid off or something like that, and they're coming to a new place where many times the rent, the cost of living is higher here than it was where they came from. They have no guarantee of a job, and they're just totally at a loss about how am I going to pay for it. But they obey God, and when they get here, then the provision comes supernaturally. And those are the people who made it. I'm convinced that there are hundreds, maybe thousands of people that God has spoken to about coming to Charis Bible College, and they're just sitting there saying, God, you make the provision. You give me all of the money so that I don't have to use any faith, and I don't have to trust you, and then I'll go obey what you say. That's not the way it works. Elijah went and spoke to the king who was killing all of the prophets, and he could have been killed. And at the very least, he could have become susceptible to his own prophecy about the drought. And how did he know if God was going to take care of him? What was he going to eat? How was he going to be provided? But instead of waiting to get all of those things answered so that there was no faith involved, he just acted on the word that he had, and he stepped out and believed God. And after he did that, then the second word came to him about go to the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And then it's not a static place. That place called there isn't static. It changes. As you grow, God will move you on, and your place called there can change. And so after he had been at this brook for a while, the brook dried up. The ravens were still bringing the food, but the brook dried up, and so the Lord told him to go to Zarephath, and he says, I have commanded a widow woman to feed thee there. His place called there changed. You have to continue. You can't just seek the Lord for a brief period of time and get a word from God and then live off that the rest of your life. You need to have a personal relationship with God on a daily basis, and God is going to move your place called there. You know, we've got a big sign when you enter our property, and it says, welcome to your place called there. That's what this is based on. And this property is my place called there, and it's many of the people who come to Charis Bible College, it's their place called there. And when you go there, then God is going to supernaturally manifest that. But that's all dependent upon you obeying what God has told you to do. He's not going to send the provision directly to you. He's going to send it there where He told you to go. Before you were even formed in your mother's womb, God already had determined a purpose for your life, a God-given purpose.
God has a purpose to train you in what you're called to do, and I tell you, Charis Bible College is the place for that.
Man, if you want a life change, come to Charis.
Come on to Charis!
You need to take a step of faith and start believing God for something big. God made every one of you for something special.
The next 2 to 3 years could be the most powerful time of your life.
If you sit under the Word for 4 hours a day, for 5 days a week, for 2 or 3 years, I guarantee you, you are going to have God speak to you and start revealing purpose to you.
We all have a purpose and a destiny, and you will find that out when you attend Charis Bible College.
Every one of you were created for a purpose. Do you know what that purpose is?
Today, Andrew's offering his brand new booklet, My Appointment with God, as his gift to you, absolutely free. This is his personal life-changing story arising from a divine encounter on March 23, 1968. This offer is limited to one free booklet per household, and is available in the U.S., U.K., Canada, and Australia. Go to awmi.net to order your free booklet today. Andrew's teaching titled, How to Find, Follow, and Fulfill God's Will is available in a book for a gift of any amount. The full series is available in three individual teachings, How to Find God's Will, How to Follow God's Will, and How to Fulfill God's Will. Each series is available in a DVD album made from our daily television broadcast, or in a CD or DVD album recorded live at a ministry event. These teachings are also found in three comprehensive study guides. Each resource is yours for a gift of any amount when you write or call. Andrew is also offering these products as part of the God's Will package. It includes his free booklet, My Appointment with God, along with the How to Find, Follow, and Fulfill God's Will book, all three study guides, and your choice of DVD or CD albums. This entire package has a catalog value of $180, but is yours today for just $130. You can order resources through our website at awmi.net. You can also order resources or receive prayer by calling our helpline at 719-635-1111. Our helpline is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
Coach Tony and also JB, you know, we started this about 2 years ago talking about the kneeling issue in the NFL, and you were sharing with me some of the background stories behind these people, and we just got to saying, we need to get these stories out there because there was another side.
I'm Tony Dungy, and I'm really excited about a new series I've been working on with James Brown called Beyond the Game.
You've been called Captain Kirk.
Yeah.
You know, a leader of men.
Jesus ultimately did that better than anyone, and his influence to this day is greater than anyone's. And so I look to him, look to the Bible, look to Scripture and the Gospels to say, how did he lead? What did he do? And then try to live that out.
Coaches and athletes in your favorite sports, and you get to see a side of them that we don't always get to see, their faith side.
We have so much negative press about athletes and, you know, spousal abuse and all kinds of things going on. And I think that this is really going to make a difference for people to see that there's some really godly people out there.
Clearly, it's the aberrant behavior of a few that gets the majority of the headlines.
So it's not only good for the athletes, but I know that you guys sometimes are just throttled in what you can say about the Lord.
We get so frustrated, especially when we'll go out and do a feature piece, but it has to get cut down into a 1 minute or 2 minute interview, and the audience can't really hear what is in the heart of these men.
We're thankful to you, as Tony said, to give us this platform, Andrew.
We'd love to have your help. Go to beyondthegame.co to find out details.